Welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub. This show is about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Perhaps you tended to a younger sibling's cut finger or babysat a neighbor's child. Maybe you were thrown into the fire and became a care hero during a medical crisis. You may care for a parent, spouse, sibling, a child, or a friend, but the challenges are the same. Getting the tools you need to navigate the maze of unfamiliar options can be overwhelming. I know. I have been there. I didn't even know what I didn't know. I am here to help you with all of it. No care hero topic is off limits. I'm here to share with you concise, actionable information, as well as my fresh perspective about Alzheimer's and providing dignified care through the end of life for anyone with a life-altering diagnosis. So grab a cup of your favorite beverage, sit back, and let me help you on your care hero journey. We will talk and share, we may laugh, and we may share a tear or two, and we will always share a cup of comfort.
Hi, Care Heroes. I'm Trish Laub, and welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me. Whether you're new to the show today or you've listened to some of the shows, I encourage you to visit the Care Hero radio page of my website, Trish Laub, TrishLaub.com. I've already covered several really important Care Hero topics, and you can find the audio and video for them there. Today, we're going to talk about one of those topics that nobody really wants to talk about, the end of life. I want to begin by sharing the thoughts that I expressed in the prologue of my book, Peaceful Endings, Guiding the Walk to the End of Life and Beyond. So in America, we prepare for the beginning of life, the arrival of a new soul, a baby, with gender reveals, baby showers, excitement, and good wishes. Choices for the birthing process include everything from hospitals, facilities and medical doctors to a home water birth with assistance from a midwife. Pain management options include medications and a doula to provide support and comfort prior, during, and after the birth. The phrase birth plan is often used. We offer our love and time to do whatever is needed to welcome the new baby and help the happy but tired new parents. In stark contrast, we do our best to ignore the fact that every life ends. We are a culture that denies death and therefore its dignity. And at the end of that prologue, I asked, what if we put the same energy and love into the ending of life, the ushering out of a soul that we do into welcoming the soul? What if we embrace the process that results in a soul transitioning out of this life as we do birth? What if our goal was to ensure death its dignity? So I ask you, what do you think? What do you think represents our collective attitude toward the end of life? Do you feel like it's easier to ignore death than it is to talk about it? I know sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable. It's one of the topics that nobody wants to talk about until that is. They need to know. Well, we're going to talk about it, starting with the fact that each reference to the end of life process carries its assumptions, implications, and connotations, each of which allows for a different end-of-life experience. When I use the words death, die, and dying in reference to the physical event, and use the words transition or transitioning and passing away to refer to the process of the end of life, for me, it leaves the possibility for beauty. Yes, my parents died and are dead. But what I experienced was a beautiful passing away and a transition to the pure light of energy that lies beyond. And as a son said to me about his mom's passing, she peacefully went to sleep and stayed in her dreams. As with my parents, I would add that they all thereby transformed our memories into starlight, which will go on forever. My sisters and I provided the dignified end of life that our parents desired. For us, it was almost instinctive, but for many, it is not. After my parents passed away, I learned about the work of my guest and what she does and realized that much of what my family did is directly aligned with her work. Her work aims to ease the passage of the dying and ensure that the end of life is a dignified and peaceful experience. Let me say that again. Her work aims to ease the passage of the dying and ensure that the end of life is a dignified and peaceful experience. I was excited by the idea that there are midwives to usher the soul out of this life. Now, before I introduce my guest, I want to remind everyone that some of the information from today's show will be available in a downloadable PDF on the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com, after the show. Felicity Warner is the founder of the Global Soul Midwives Movement and runs the Soul Midwives School based in the UK. Her unique training program teaches holistic and spiritual care for the end of life. She has won many awards for her work and created the idea of soul midwifery after sitting with hundreds of people at the end of life. Her pioneering work has brought a new dimension to holistic and spiritual palliative care, both in the UK and abroad. In addition to the UK, there are now soul midwives working in the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. Felicity is also the author of four acclaimed books, Gentle Dying and a Safe Journey Home, The Soul Midwife's Handbook, and Sacred Oils, 20 Precious Oils to Heal Spirit and Soul. She is a passionate campaigner for raising standards of care at the end of life. So I want to welcome Felicity. It is so exciting to me to meet you since I have known you from across the pond, the big pond. I've been excited to speak to you ever since I found out about your work, and I love your concept of a midwife for the ushering out of a soul. So welcome.
Oh, Trish, thank you so much. That was such a lovely introduction. I don't feel I deserve it in any way at all.
You do.
Bless you and thank you. My work, I feel it's a privilege, and I feel blessed every day to be doing it. It is work that brings us to the very depths of people, and it never a day is wasted. You know, if you're working Absolutely. With a family, you're supporting them, or you're working with a dying person who perhaps has no family or friends, it is such an honor. And I know that's kind of an overworked word at times these days, but it really is. And you know, the minute you walk into a room where there is someone at end of life, you don't know what you're going to see, you don't know what you're going to hear, but just by holding space and entering with an open heart, you will enter into a dialogue of such depth and such intimacy that it never leaves you, and it would never be a boring day. So I've been doing this work for so long now, and never ever do I think, gosh, you know, it's time to hang up my socks. But so I carry on, and I carry on, and I carry on. And I love that introduction where you talked about how we prepare for birth. And we really think about it, and we support the parents, and we wait for that child to come, and the energy builds and it builds. But we don't do that at death.
No.
And you know what? Death can be the most exquisite experience. And that might sound strange, but if a death goes well and a person is supported beautifully, then it can be an extraordinarily healing experience, not only for the person who's actually at end of life, but for their family, and the ripples go out into the community. So if we can help one person to die well, we've achieved something that's really good. If we can help 10 people, wow. If we can help 50 or 100 people, we are beginning to change the world. And to me, that's exciting.
I'm smiling because absolutely, I could not agree with you more. If somebody had told me a year ago, let alone 10 years ago, that this topic would excite me, I'd have said, what's wrong with you? But there is great beauty in the end of life process, or there can be. I can't promise that there always is. Yeah. But it is possible. And my experience is there's been great beauty in that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? The work that we're able to do, I think I always say it's about the tender and loving care of the dying. Mm-hmm. So our work sits really beside the high-tech clinical work, which of course has its part to play as well. You know, symptom control and easing pain is absolutely part of enabling a beautiful death. But if we can come in and sit with someone and really work with them at depth, really listen to them, really connect, really find out what is making them tick, what's making them worried, what things make them feel happy, then we can really bring something fantastic to the deathbed. And you know, when doctors have said, sorry, there's no more now that can be done, that is when I would say, oh, yes, there is so much that we can be doing.
Yes.
So I feel very positive about the role that we can play in helping people to achieve a really dignified, serene, tranquil death.
Absolutely. I mean, I found with my parents, both of my parents, and with the other people that I have helped through that end of that transition, that almost instinctively for me, but not nearly as elegantly as you do it, for some reason, the environment became really important to me. Yeah. Yes, wanted to have pain or any discomfort under control, but everything else just kind of fell away, and it became the senses that were important, the smell, the touch, the temperature in the room. It was the environment. And interestingly enough, my mom passed away and we had a focal room in her bedroom and there was all kinds of stuff around it, but it was like it didn't exist. There was just this space. And I think I got the term transition space from you, or transition room, or
yes.
One of your books, because I own a few of your books.
Oh, bless you. That's so nice to hear. Well, I'm very, I set a lot of importance and value into how we set the space for someone at end of life. You know, a hard clinical death is hard on the senses. You know, bright lights, machinery, clattering noise is not good for a dying person. If we can dim the lights, if we can make everything feel soft and warm and safe, if we can play beautiful music, if we can use some beautiful scented oils, we can make such a difference. And again, that relates to birth, doesn't it? You know, the modern concepts of birth is all about gentleness and ambiance and people feeling relaxed and comfortable. And we can do exactly the same for birth. And what it does is it takes all the hard edges off the experience and it enables people to relax and surrender into the process. Because we all actually, I think we all know how to die, really. It's innate. And I think as human beings, we all know how to help others to do this. And you were talking about how really you were guided, you knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that is actually so special that we do know. So we just have to remember this and go with how our gut instinct on it, but it's not rocket science, but it can make such a difference to someone at the end of life.
I just had an epiphany based on what you said. I treat other people the way I'd want to be treated. And that's not to go against their wishes. I just mean, I would want to feel safe. I would want the environment to feel warm and comfortable. Yeah. I'd want it, whether I was at home or not, I'd want it to feel like I was at home. So I guess that wasn't really a conscious thought when I've done this. But I wanted them to feel safe and relaxed.
Yeah, yeah. And loved. I think that's a really important thing as well. That's really interesting. When I'm teaching others to do this work, I suggest that the that they always have in their mind that the person they're working with is the most special person in the world to them, and to cherish them. And there's a magic in that. There's a great healing potency in that as well. And one of the saddest things I find, although it works out well in the end, is that so many people haven't actually experienced that degree of kindness often, or love in their lives before. So when you're giving it to them right at the end, it's quite a big thing to experience. So yes, we need to love our dying people.
And I also think it's for many, there's fear associated with it, especially in American culture. We don't talk about it. We ignore it, just like I said. And you know what? I never really thought about what that process was going to be like, or if it was going to, I was going to be afraid of it. I was more concerned about the experience for the people that were going through transition than I was for me. And it allowed me just to kind of step in and be really, really present for them.
Yeah. Yes, I think, Trish, that is the key. I mean, I don't think you have to know a whole raft of skills and therapies and techniques. Yes, there are lots. But to be fully present is one of the greatest gifts that you can actually bring to the bedside. And being fully present, and, you know, something really simple, just like holding a hand, is just so important. But so many people need permission to know that actually that is all that's required. And so many people need maybe a soul midwife to say, it's okay, you can do that, just go ahead and do that, it's fine. So there's a lot to it, but actually it's very simple as well.
Simple to execute, maybe a lot to learn. And reading through your books after the fact, or it might have actually been between when my two parents passed, they passed 8 months apart. But I just love the fact that I believe you pointed out that to hold their hand, but to do it gently, their sense of touch, they're so much more sensitive, and you have to not be careful, but kind of be careful, be aware that the senses in many senses have heightened.
Absolutely. You know, the hearing may be more acute. Touch, you know, be terribly gentle. And the other big thing, which is so simple, but I always say, if you're going into the room where there's someone dying, slow down your whole kind of timing. Don't walk too fast, don't talk too fast. And it's so simple, again, to just do that. It makes a big difference as well.
So does, with your program, a soul midwife, do they go in and are they actively there through the transition process? Do they come and do a consultation for a family? How does that work?
Well, it varies so much. The best case scenario for us is to work with someone from a point of diagnosis, so we can really, really get to know them and support them really, really well all the way through. But so often we're called in at the last minute, when literally, you know, there isn't much more that can be done. And families may be struggling with their own anxiety and the grief is starting to build. So we are sometimes there at transition, but not always. If we're not there, then we will hold a loving presence wherever we are for that person or that family. And I have my candle lit, and I will sit quietly and connect with them on a deep level. So it does vary enormously, I have to say.
So I'm wondering, do you have any tips that you can share today in regard to helping somebody through that process? And I will say, I actually own, I don't know if I'm on video right now, but I actually own at least two of Felicity's books. Sorry. The Soul Midwife's Handbook and The Safe Journey Home. And the information there's really, really, truly valuable, really invaluable. Oh. But are there any tips you can kind of give people who are listening today, just to give them an idea?
Well, as I say, be very slow, be very gentle, be very calm. Don't be afraid to be yourself. That's a big one. A lot of people think, I've got to be terribly solemn at the bedside of someone who's dying. You've seen what I'm like. I'm like a sort of Labrador dog. And actually, I'm... You know, I bound in and I am myself. And actually, I think it works better than trying to, you know, just have this very sedate version of myself. So be yourself and don't be afraid to say that you love them, that you're there, that they're okay, that they're going to be fine. Reassure, a bit like being a midwife will say things, you are doing so well. You are really doing well. You are nearly there. Because dying is like being in labor. You have to actually work quite hard at it. So reassure all the time. That's what I would suggest.
Okay, wow. You talked about being yourself. So when my mom was passing, her favorite song was a Glenn Miller song. Sing Sing, I think, was it Glenn Miller? I don't know. Anyway, it was Sing Sing Sing. And we put it on. I mean, this is within days and also hours of her passing. And it is, you know, it's got a drum solo and it's pretty loud and, you know, bouncy. And my sisters and I are putting it on, dancing around her bed. Just having a blast drumming on the, I mean, not a, well, a good blast, you know what I mean? Because yeah, she would have loved that.
Oh,
she loved that music and it had great memories for her. And, you know, we're drumming on the side rails of the bed and stuff and giving her the best send off we could.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? She will have felt all of that and known all of that. And you will have just done that so beautifully. And just from your heart, from your own, you know, knowingness of what to do. It just sounds just perfect. Beautiful.
And I love the thought of walking into the room and being slowing down and being somewhat peaceful. What I observed with my dad in particular, who kind of struggled to make that, he took some encouragement to make that transition for a variety of reasons. And we had to really reassure him out loud, even though he was not conscious, that he was safe. But what I observed was when our energy was up, he rustled like he was going to get up. And we're like, oh, no, we need to bring this energy back down, go out of the room, take a breath.
Yes.
Not that we had to be solemn. We just had to maintain sort of an evenness to our energy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Again, Trish, you were just so following your instincts there. And that's perfect and so spot on. You know, our own breath, if we can be checking that we're also breathing fully and deeply and slowly, that will translate into the serenity of the person. So it was all there. You were doing brilliantly.
Wow. We did our best.
Oh,
you know, we did our best.
Sounds good to me.
So I want to take a minute here to be sure that, can you tell people how to find your information?
Yes, of course. So I have the school here in the UK, but I have many, many students in the US. And I adore them. We have a flourishing group. I have distance learning courses as well as face-to-face when we're not in a COVID lockdown. My website is www.soulmidwives.co.uk. And I'm also on Facebook. And if anybody wants to be in touch, I always love to hear from others. So that makes my day. So
excellent. I know that you have a directory on your website for Soul Midwives in the UK. How do people find them in other countries?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the moment, if you are looking for somebody to look after someone, email me and I would then be able to direct you outwards. We're trying to get something a bit more complicated organized, but hasn't quite happened yet.
Right. I know when I first contacted you, I was looking for somebody to speak with in the United States. And I think you connected me with somebody in California, I think.
Possibly, yes.
And you mentioned that your books are available on Amazon. I know they just put in your name, Felicity Warner.
Yes.
This information is all in the PDF that you can download on my website as well. And you do the Soul Midwife training. Do you actually go out and do work with individual clients still?
Yes, I do. I do. It's important. I think you have to keep fresh and you have to keep real. Yeah. Otherwise, if you're just teaching from memory all the time, it gets a bit stale. So I'm passionate about keeping my hand in wherever I can. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for joining me today and sharing this information. This is really one of my, you know, important topics that people don't want to talk about it, but it's just, it's what the work you do is so important. And it's not only important for the actual individuals, it just helps to change the consciousness out there. So I really appreciate it. And I know that, you know, the listeners have found this helpful.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Trish. I've loved talking to you as well.
It's been a pleasure. And we will talk shortly after this. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today and sharing this time with me. There's so many more topics to talk about, especially those ones that people don't feel comfortable talking about. And see, we laughed during this too. So not all, end of life is not all doom and gloom. But as always, I say, I would really love to hear from you. So please reach out to me on my website, trishlaub.com. You know, leave me a message, send me an email. But let me know, you know, where you're listening from and topics that you're interested in hearing. There's no topic that's off limits. Also, please join me the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. Next time on May 25th, I'll meet you here with a special guest, Cameron Crawford, to talk about what a placement agent can do to ease your loved one's transition to a residential community. I want to take a minute to share just a couple topics that are upcoming. We have a care hero who is going to share their 7 lessons learned through caregiving, and another person that will be discussing a different approach to keeping those living with dementia at home longer. And I have many more personal care hero stories to share with you as well. So until next time, remember that you are a care hero.
Thank you for listening to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub, and for your care hero courage. Tune in next time on Transformation Talk Radio as we explore life-changing care hero topics to assist you on your journey. In the meantime, I would love to hear any tips or insights that you've taken away with you today. So head on over to trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com, and leave a comment, a question you would like answered, or a topic you'd like to hear about in the future. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to my newsletter. So raise a cup and let's toast to all the amazing care heroes out there giving it their all. Until next time, remember that you are true heroes.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.